to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoffer of Northwestern University. The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it. We gratefully acknowledge contributions to sustain the Infrastructure Show from Andrea and Ron DeFeo, Dr. Robert Peskin, and Dr. Raymond Ellis. Facilities and systems that supply potable water to cities need ongoing attention and maintenance. Many of those facilities that serve older cities were built decades ago, some in an era when we knew less about materials and conditions and technologies. The San Francisco Public Utilities Commission relies on a system of 9 reservoirs, some as far away as Yosemite National Park, to serve 2.7 million residential, commercial, and industrial customers in the Bay Area. The agency is now pursuing a $4.6 billion improvement program, including rebuilding the 1925 Calaveras Dam near Fremont, California, in the East Bay. We're happy to welcome Alan Johansson, who is Deputy Director of the San Francisco Public Utility Commission's Water System Improvement Program, to tell us about that system and this program. Welcome. Glad you're with us today.
Good morning. Thank you.
First, give us the big picture. What is the water supply system for the Bay Area? How does it work, and what is its extent?
Okay, so the majority of the water that supplies the Bay Area comes from reservoirs, as you mentioned, that are up in the Hetch Hetchy system, which is up near Yosemite Park. And the other 20% comes from local reservoirs. And we have pipelines that take the water and transmit it to the customers around the Bay Area. The total distance from San Francisco to the reservoirs upcountry is about 180 miles.
So that's a long distance. And I understand some of those pipelines are very deep.
Yeah, the pipeline depths can be 20 feet below the ground. We've got tunnels that are deeper than that.
And they cross some fault lines?
Yes, they cross the San Andreas and the Hayward Fault. And the Hayward Fault are the very vulnerable ones.
And you have those fault line crossings. Are they literally pipes or are they bored tunnels?
There are pipes on the Hayward. We have some tunnels that actually cross from a reservoir into a treatment plant, the San Andreas.
Is there some particular design that you use to protect the integrity of them?
Yeah, actually there's a third fault I didn't mention, the Calaveras, which is another one. So there's a number of systems we've used. On the Hayward Fault, we've got a very innovative ball joint that crosses the Hayward Fault that allows for movement. And otherwise, we have Calaveras Fault locations. We'll have reinforced piping inside tunnels. It's a lot of strengthening and at the same time allowing movement and flexibility.
Have you ever had a problem, a break, due to an earthquake?
We haven't had a break due to an earthquake, but along the Calaveras Fault recently, due to creep, we've had small leaks that we've had to address.
So tell us about the Calaveras Dam Rehabilitation Project. What is it and why are you doing this?
The dam was originally built by the Spring Valley Water Company, and at that time it was a hydraulically placed dam. And they really were not aware of the seismic vulnerability of the dam. And in addition to that, when it was being filled, it was filled too quickly and it breached. So there was a portion of the dam where they were really not sure how it was repaired. And it was just repaired by Spring Valley employees at that time, so there's no records. So several years back, the state came by and the Division of Safety of Dams, and they informed the PUC that due to the condition of the dam and the location on the Calaveras Fault, that we had to lower the capacity to 40%. So the new dam is built downstream from that, and it's a zoned earth-fill dam that's up to modern standards, taking into account the location and proximity to the Calaveras Fault.
So if I understand the geography, when you say downstream, the new dam is literally behind the old dam.
That's correct.
So the old dam stays in place and maintains the reservoir until the new dam is ready to go?
Right. That's the process we're doing. So right now we've started the building up the dam, and I believe it's 60, 70 feet above the base, but we've got a ways to go, and by 2018 it should be completed at the top elevation.
And so what is the top elevation? I had the number 220 feet, but I'm not sure if that was for the old or the new.
It's the same elevation as the old one.
Oh, okay. So that's a starting point. So the new dam will be the same elevation, but the difference, if I understand it, is you will know what it is and you will know what the materials are so you can address and understand and know the integrity.
That's correct. And the current design is built based on the largest credible earthquake on the Calaveras Fault.
And so does the dam sit right on the fault or is it just nearby?
Yeah, I believe it sits right on the fault, yes.
And earth fill, I think maybe there are people that don't fully understand that, but the kind of typical picture we see of dams is a very large concrete structure. But in this case, you're using local materials to build this up out of earth.
That's true. And what we have in the center of the dam, as you'd expect, there's a clay core, which we'll use to significantly prevent the water from going downstream through the dam. And then there's drains underneath the dam that are created by using different size aggregate and sand. And then there's zones around it with larger rock and compacted to the requirements created by the designers. So it's a very scientific process bringing it up and carefully planned to take care of making sure water does not go through the dam. Also, there's a grouting program that grouted the rock below the dam to prevent the same thing. So you have no infiltration of water below the dam.
And then a spillway or some kind of a pass-through?
There's a major spillway that is required that gets to a certain elevation to avoid the topping the dam. The water would be released through the spillway to the creek down below. So that's been a tremendous number of yards of concrete and backfill concrete on rock to make sure it's on a very stable base.
I wonder, in the process of building that, what's happened at the Oroville Dam has caused people to take another look and make sure that you don't see a repeat of that experience.
Right. I remember during the construction, my background is not, in dam design, and we were supposed to start pouring the spillway, and the rock below it was not what the engineers expected. So we'd excavate out more rock and soil and pour backfill concrete. It cost additional money, and it took time. Seems like a lot of effort, but after you see the things that happen as in Oroville, you understand the reason we went to that extent.
I think it's not unusual that anytime you do underground construction, you find things that you didn't expect to find.
Right. And that's been the larger challenges for our program, because unlike a building, where you have just this base floor where you could have underground unknowns, we have these dams, the tunnels, and the pipelines where you're not really sure of what you're getting into, and still you start excavating.
And so what's the schedule? When will this be done? You said 2018?
2018, we'll be able to retain water behind the new dam. The whole program will be completed in December 2019. That's the current expectation.
And when you phase over from old to new, do you remove the old dam?
Just a portion of it. There'll be an approach channel, so a portion of that will be removed, but not the entire dam.
Yeah, I suppose there's no need as long as the water can flow to the new dam.
That's correct.
Yeah. And in the process of building this new dam, you gain a substantial advantage in terms of knowing what the integrity is and ensuring the integrity. Do you increase the capacity of the reservoir?
We have not increased the capacity of the reservoir because there would be concerns environmentally doing that. We would impact fish downstream in the bay. But what we have done is we have established a base to the dam that's larger. So should future generations want to increase the height, that there is a possibility of doing that.
Oh, that's interesting. So then you really paid for an option to grow the dam if that is an appropriate thing to do.
Yes, we have.
Okay. And that water flows to a treatment plant somewhere downstream?
Right. Sonol Valley is below the dam, and there's a treatment plant in the Sonol Valley that was originally built in the 60s, but has been subsequently upgraded during the same program.
And is that the water that's treated there and flows into the distribution network, does that connect through the region? That is, can that water end up going anywhere, or is it just for a particular part of the region?
The water generally from Calaveras is the other 20%. There's some in the local reservoirs in the peninsula, but primarily the other 20% of our supply comes from the Calaveras Reservoir. So that mixes and then is fed through the pipes and the tunnels through the rest of the bay.
So is the Hetch Hetchy the primary source for the region?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And some of the pictures that I've seen of that recently give me the impression that the water level is low.
Last year, we had a tremendous amount of rain, and the water, I think we were almost at full capacity. There's additional water that we transmit in a water bank to other users, so we were starting to make a dent into that, too. So we had a very good water year last year.
Good year. That's good. But there is some variability over long periods of time, as I understand it.
Yes. Well, actually, if you look at some of the photographs, they create capacity in there before the snow melt. So they'll purposely lower the reservoirs to allow room for the water that's generated by the snowmelt.
Ah, okay. Well, that certainly makes sense. So they'll draw down and then allow the snowmelt to refill.
That's correct.
Okay. So overall, if you think about the system that you're managing, do you have sufficient water? Are you comfortable with your preparation for future growth in the region?
We went through a major drought in previous years, and I think our storage capacity, we can only maintain for 3 years. So it needs to get replenished every year through the snow melt and precipitation. So that is a challenge.
How are you paying for the Calaveras Dam?
We issued bonds, and then as we capitalized the projects, then the rates increased for the ratepayers.
So ultimately, the ratepayers pay it, but it's borrowed money.
That's correct.
Yeah, which is fairly typical for a project of this scale. Any other big projects on the agenda for the PUC?
Now we're looking at the infrastructure as it relates to wastewater and our sewer and collection system and our treatment plants within San Francisco. So we have a $6.9 billion program, and we're in the first phase, which is roughly $2.9 billion, and we'll be doing major upgrades to our southeast treatment plant.
Is it a combined sewer system in the city?
Yes, that's correct. It's a combined sewer system, which is unusual for the West Coast.
And is there a plan to separate that?
No, we don't have any plan right now. We are addressing some of that through creating rain gardens and trying to capture stormwater runoff and green infrastructure to try to take some of that water and get it into the ground.
Ah, okay. So is that concentrated in the city or across the region?
Just in San Francisco.
Okay. All right. That's another project to look at. I know a number of other cities that are doing similar kinds of things. Alan, thank you very much for telling us about this interesting project. We'll watch the news for the completion of the Calaveras replacement, and I look forward to tracking what you're doing in the future.
Great. Thanks for your interest.